Our Father in heaven, the great, the almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is perfect in his being and in all your ways. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that you've created us in your image. It's feasible for us to draw near to you. It's feasible for us to have a deep relationship with you. Father, we thank you for all provisions you have made for us so that we can live our lives with purpose and meaning. We thank you for what you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the provision of the Holy Spirit, for the Scriptures, and for church life. We ask, Father, that you will continue to speak to us, to help us that we may appreciate your love toward us, and that we may not receive your grace in vain. Help us to know how to respond deeply to your kind intention toward us. We commit this time to your loving hands, and we pray that you have the freedom to speak to us, and that our minds may be renewed, our hearts be kindled afresh with love for you, gratitude toward you, and a deep response to your high calling. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 31st message. And today, the Lord willing, will be the concluding message on how to make good progress in our relationship with God. Concluding message on how to make good progress in our relationship with God. God longs to have deep and quality relationship with man, and that men have a vital and meaningful part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And that is why God has created man in his image as a moral and spiritual being with ability to learn and grow in moral and spiritual beauty and stature in the direction of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that is, in the direction of perfection in moral and spiritual beauty and stature. That is, the potential for our growth is infinite in Christ, which means the potential for depth and quality of relationship and fellowship with God is infinite. And there is no limit to the degree of meaning and effectiveness in our participation in our working of God's purposes. This is at the very heart of scriptural revelation, that which is truly important, which we must pay due attention if we neglect this very major issues of life. Then we have missed the most important issues pertaining to the meaning and purpose of life. Deep relationship with God being a primary aspect of God's intentions for man and at the core center of the fulfillment of God's purposes, it follows that we should want to attain to such a relationship with God, and we would want to know the answer to the questions, who has deep relationship with God? And how can one attain to deep relationship with God? Many believers, in many different ways, have sought to work out their lives. But unless we first begin to pay sufficient attention to our relationship with God, if we fail to do that, if this area is neglected, then it is not feasible for believers to fare well. And we must not just wait for a good relationship with God to take place. It does not happen automatically. I mentioned in an earlier message, in my understanding, poor relationship with God, lack of depth, meaning, superficiality in relationship of believers with God is a very major factor for the spiritual poverty, complexities, problems, and failures in the lives of believers, and also weakness of the universal church generally. And that there is a grossly insufficient effective attention paid to this area. I mentioned grossly insufficient effective attention. Believers do talk a lot, do talk about seeking to know God, to please God, to glorify God. There can also be strong emphasis on trying to serve God. But although all this may be present, and yet this vital area can remain in a poor state. Just talking about wanting to serve God, wanting to honor Him, glorify Him, in itself does not mean that we will have good relationship and quality relationship with God. If this area is not in a good state, we will not be able to fare well, even if it appears to be so. There can be a lot of activities, many projects, but it will fail to produce truly good fruit in the way that God desires. There can be much expression of love for God, praise, adoration, but they do not mean much to God if our relationship with God remains at a superficial level. Our reflections on the story of the great musician and the woodcutter and the preceding six messages on how to make good progress in deepening our relationship with God are meant to help us toward the goal of a deep and quality relationship with God and a meaningful part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. It's not just meant for you to listen and say you are in agreement with what has been communicated. It's meant for you to seriously ponder over your lives. Do you have a deep relationship with God? Do you want to have a deep relationship with God? Do you know why this is critical? And do you know how to make good progress? And if you do, are you taking the appropriate steps in that direction? That is critical. In this concluding message on how to make good progress in deepening our relationship with God, I will summarize and highlight the issues involved and look at the subject as a whole in several related overlapping points. 1. It will be helpful for us to take time to reflect upon and to marvel at the truth that the great Almighty God longs to have deep and meaningful relationship with us. Many people are very thrilled if an important person in this world wants to relate with them, to spend time with them, or to be their friends. But are we sufficiently impressed with how wonderful it is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the whole universe, the perfect God, actually desires, longs for a deep and meaningful relationship with us? This is not wishful thinking. The Lord Jesus Himself tells us that God is seeking for true worshippers, will worship Him in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verses 23-24. And 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 tells us that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. God longs for people who will worship Him in spirit and truth, who will relate deeply with Him, whose heart are completely His, deeply identified with Him. It means much to God. He deeply appreciates those with whom He can relate with deeply, just like the great musician who deeply appreciated the meaningful relationship he had with a humble woodcutter. The scriptures clearly show to us that God deeply appreciates men like Daniel, who was highly esteemed in the sight of God. Daniel chapter 9, verses 23, verse 23, chapter 10, verses 11 and 19. Highly esteemed, in the sight of God, precious to God. We saw the expression, you are highly esteemed, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, can be translated as, you are a precious treasure, as indicated in the Hebrew lexicon BDB. Without scriptural revelation, it is difficult for us to imagine, to understand how frail, sinful people like us can become precious treasure to God. But the scriptures clearly state that this is feasible. It does not mean that all of us will become like that, but it is feasible. And not just for special people like Daniel. God has made provisions for us. It is feasible for all of us in the Lord Jesus Christ to become precious, precious treasure to God. God longs for a very meaningful relationship with us. God is ready for this relationship. The issue is, are we ready for such a relationship? This first point, if we reflect upon and we marvel at this reality of God's longing and what this means, it can help us to be more determined to move in that direction. The second related point is to be deeply impressed with this great privilege. It's indeed a very great privilege that it is feasible for frail, finite men to have deep and rich relationship with a great Almighty God. And that He actually longs to have deep relationship with us. The third related point is to be deeply grateful to God. Deep gratitude to God, first for having created us in His image so that it is feasible for us to relate with Him, and then making all provisions for us so that it is feasible not only feasible for us to relate with Him, but to relate with Him at the deepest level. God has made many, many provisions for us, but in particular, I will quickly list a few very major aspects of God's provision so that we will know how to avail ourselves of what God has provided. A. The Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. Not only for forgiveness of sins, Christ bearing our punishment, through Him we can have forgiveness, but also in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, we can rise up to God's high calling, without which it is not feasible. And that all that God intends for us, all the richness of provision that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at all this in detail in other messages. I will now only highlight these various major aspects so that we can have, in one message, a bird's eye view of all the major issues involved in this very important issue and area of life. And B, the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that what God has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ can become real to us, and that we can enter into what God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of the Lord, glorifying Christ and bring true glory to the name of God. If we respond well, it will result in truly glorifying God and not just affirmation of lips without real substance. See, the scriptures, extremely important revelation of God, His ways about us and how we should respond and how God intends for us can be realized. We must not neglect God's rich provisions for us. D. Church life. Not just any group of believers coming together, spending time in ways that they see fit, but by church life I mean how God intends His children to come together as revealed in the scriptures. The major emphasis, the various major aspects in place, the whole approach, which the Lord willing in this series of messages on the fulfillment of God's purposes, in subsequent messages, we will look at in detail. But now, I just want to mention it. that we need to bear in mind and be deeply grateful, as well as bear in mind how to respond to God's calling in the light of His provisions for us. And E also deeply grateful how God patiently prepares us for deep relationship with Him in many, many different ways. God is seeking to bring this about, even in many ways that we are not conscious of. But if we are now more aware that this is God's desire, His will, and He seeks to prepare us, and we are more prayerful, more receptive to what the Holy Spirit is seeking to bring about, we'll be in a much better position to benefit from what God seeks to bring about in our lives as He prepares us. He wants us to move in that direction, and He patiently works in the direction of our being ready for deep relationship with Him. But it will not definitely take place. In fact, the scriptural revelation is that many will fail to respond well to God's intentions for mankind. Will we be amongst those who will respond well and attain to a deep relationship with God? It is feasible. Nothing can stop you from attaining to that except yourself. Because God is sovereign, He desires to bring this about, He patiently works in that direction, and He will help us to attain to a deep relationship with Him, whoever you may be, whatever may be your present struggles and difficulties. However bleak the situation may appear, it is feasible if we are truly willing, determined, and will respond well to what God seeks to bring about. And the various aspects that I'm highlighting in this message, if we pay due heed to them, it will help us in that direction. The fourth point, strong convictions about the importance of nurturing deep relationship with God. I say strong convictions, not just strong emotions. Strong emotions are not sufficient. Many at times feel very deeply about this issue, and they may say many things in very strong language about how much they love God and are committed to God. But it's just primarily strong emotions that cannot stand the test of the difficulties and trials that come our way, and the need for a disciplined life. Strong convictions, settled, abiding convictions, grounded in the truth. We must know the truth, not just what people say, not just how we feel or how things appear to be, but to see that these things are clearly revealed by God in the scriptures, and to recognize, to see how important these things are. The importance of nurturing deep relationship with God. And that is a great privilege. We are deeply grateful, and we marvel at the fact that it is feasible for us to have such a deep relationship with God, and it is actually God's longing. Not only that we can have such a relationship with Him, but that He can have such a relationship with us. I'll just briefly list down in point form. A, there is strong convictions along these lines. A, that this is the most precious, meaningful, enriching experience and reality. Nothing can compare to it. Whatever other kind of excitement, experience you may try to enter into on this earth, nothing can compare with this. Whatever other kinds of achievements, glory of this earth, fame, wealth, whatever it may be, there is nothing that can compare with deep relationship with God, which is most precious, meaningful, enriching experience and reality. Not just whether it appears to be so, not just whether you feel it is this way, but this is the reality. B, to be deeply convicted that it is not only meaningful for us, but also meaningful to God. I've elaborated on this from time to time. I will not elaborate now. Many of us say we want to bring joy to the heart of God. How do we bring joy to the heart of God? By trying to do many things for God? There's a place for that. But if it doesn't first begin with a deep and meaningful relationship with God, then all the other things that we try to do, and even various words of expression of worship and praise to God, will mean very little to Him. But do we realize that the starting point, the most important thing and meaningful thing to God, is that we have a deep relationship with Him? I mentioned that the story of the woodcutter, the great musician woodcutter, this is one major aspect I want to bring across. How much the relationship meant to both of them, including to the great musician, to illustrate, to help to bring home the point of how much a deep relationship with God would mean not only to us, but would mean to God. See, this is the basis for growth, for growing well, and also our personal well-being. We want to grow well, we want to be well in our personal well-being, but unless our relationship with God is good, we will not be able to grow well. There will not be the personal well-being. D. Basis for living well and effectiveness in service and positive impact on the lives of others. We are concerned for the lives of others. We want to serve God. But unless it is grounded in a deep relationship with God, we will not be able to live well. We will not be effective. Even though it may appear to be. Outwardly, many things may appear to have been accomplished. We may appear to have helped many people. But in terms of really deep impact, bearing really good fruit, how can it come about? Especially in a stable, consistent manner, unless God is deeply working in and through our lives. And how can this be so? Unless there is a deep, effective relationship with God. It is the basis for true fruit bearing. E. The basis for meaningful and effective participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes in the present age and in eternity. We'll consider this in this series of messages, that for us to live meaningfully, we must want to know what is life all about. Why did God create us? What is His purpose? And then to participate effectively. But how can this come about? It can come about only if we have a meaningful and deep relationship with God. To know Him, to know His purposes, and to be able to work out in fellowship with Him. Not only for now, in this present age, but also for eternity. God wants us to have a meaningful part, a vital part in our working of His purposes for now and for eternity. This is needful, essential, the basis. A deep relationship with God. That is, to summarize it, the quality of our relationship with God is the most important issue in life and the basis for us to be well, our personal well-being, and to fare well in every aspect of our lives. Otherwise, we may appear to fare well, but it will not be so. We may appear to be successful, whether in our career, we may be well regarded by society, may be well regarded even in Christian circles, we may appear to have achieved much. But even in reality, our relationship with God is poor, superficial. Then we will be in spiritual poverty, and we will not fare well, we will not be effective. Not just the basis for us to fare well in some aspects, but the basis for us to fare well in every aspect of our lives. This is needful. It is the basis. It helps us to understand why Paul says he's prepared to give up all, to count all things to be lost, that I may know Him. Philippians 3:10. And we know this verse can be meaningfully appreciated, not just from the angle that I may know Him in the sense of the initial knowing of the Lord and of conversion, but knowing God in increasing measures. That I may know Him and to know God in increasing measure must be the deepest longing of our heart, the most important, for which there must be a preparedness to give up all, to count all things to be lost, that I may know Him. The cry from David's heart to God in Psalm 63 verse 1 should also be the cry from the heart of every child of God. Psalm 63 verse 1. David expresses it in this way. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. O God, You are my God. We also express this to God. You are my God. But can we also learn to express likewise in the same spirit as from the heart of David? I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. And also try to appreciate that behind this verse, there is a whole wealth of meaning that gives rise to these words from the heart and spirit of David. His deep appreciation of God and the importance of really knowing God and having a deep relationship with God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. David knows. David knew that this is the most important issue of life. This leads me to the next point, the fifth point. Earnestness. Earnestness in pursuing the goal of deep relationship with God. It is not enough just to acknowledge, yes, this is very important, I'm deeply thankful to God for His provision, I know it's a great privilege, I marvel at the fact that God longs to have a deep relationship with me, all this has been clearly revealed in the scriptures, it's so wonderful. And then we just carry on with life, immersed in the affairs of this life, and neglecting pursuing this goal of deep relationship with God. All this must lead to the earnestness. But the preceding points will help us to move in the direction of earnestly pursuing this goal of deep relationship with God. Pray over it, reflect upon it. Are you earnest in pursuing this goal of deep relationship with God? It is primary. It is most important. I'll now list down briefly. A. Priority, primary issue in life. It ought to be. Is it of primary importance to us? More important than all else. That doesn't mean other things do not have their proper place. But if pursuit of God and deep relationship with God is not primary, then all other areas of life cannot find their proper place. But if this area is priority, is primary to us, then we can look to God to help us to know how to order our lives and how all the other areas can find their proper place. B. Continually, unceasingly. Not just deeply impress upon it at a moment of time. You hear somebody say something, or you hear a message, you read about something, and then you're very stirred, and you say, God, I will now pursue You with all my heart. This is a primary thing of my life. And then a few days later, or a week later, or a month later, or a year later, it has faded off. No, it must be continual, unceasingly so. But how can it be continually so, unceasingly so? It's related to various other points, including the next point. C. We must take all steps that are needful and helpful. If we do that, yes, it can continue to be so. Take all steps that are needful and helpful, and you are not left to grope in the dark, you have been shown how you can go about it. There is no excuse. If you are sensible, if you are wise, not according to the eyes of the world, but what the scriptures term wisdom, true wisdom, as expressed in Proverbs, then you will agree, you will see that pursuit of God is most important, and it will be needful, and you would want to take the necessary steps. And if you do that, you will be a wise man. But if you fail to do that, you will be foolish. Whether other people tell you you are foolish or not, whether you recognize it or not, the pronouncement of the scriptures is that you are a fool. Take all steps that are needful, that are helpful. You know what they are. Once we come to recognize the reality of God and who He is, the God of the scriptures, then the only logical thing for us to do, the wise thing for us to do, is to set our hearts to seek Him earnestly, to know Him deeply, and to walk with Him in faith, to walk in fellowship with Him. It is the greatest joy, privilege of men. Related to that, the next aspect, subpoint D, 5D, is discipline, diligence. We need to be disciplined because it's not always easy, it's not always pleasant, and it needs to be persevered. Not just a moment, but throughout our lives. So it requires discipline, diligence. The scriptures emphasize the importance of disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness. There are many other things where discipline is helpful, including our physical health. But Paul tells us, even more important than all other aspects of discipline, is to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And the heart of true godliness is our relationship with God, without which we cannot be truly godly. E, right attitude of heart and spirit. Even if you recognize it is primary, and we try to take all the steps and we are disciplined, but if we do so with the wrong attitude of heart and the wrong spirit, we will not be able to make good progress. A deep longing to know God, because we want to be like Him, because we know that moral spiritual beauty is something good in itself, important for relationship with Him, important for relationship with others, important for living well. We know that deep relationship with God is not only something that we enjoy in the experiential, emotional sense, but that deep relationship with God is a moral issue. I'll come to this more as we go along. Something important, meaningful, which we must approach with the right attitude of heart and spirit. And F, it should then follow that all other things are secondary and subject to this pursuit and goal of deep relationship with God. We must not allow any other thing to become more important. It is obvious we cannot allow career, pursuit of wealth, fame, prestige, and all, or any other thing to come before the primary importance of deep relationship with God. We cannot even allow even relationships, other relationships that are meaningful and important, to take primary place. And once we allow that to happen, not only our relationship with God will not be healthy, will not be deep, will be hindered, but even our relationship, the particular relationship and all other relationships that we allow to come to take first place, will also deteriorate in meaning. It will not be able to be in a healthy state. It is only when we learn how to love God with all our hearts, and God is primary in our lives, that we'll be able to love others deeply in a wholesome, meaningful way. 6. Point, count the cost and pay the price. There are moral and spiritual principles involved in deep relationship with the perfect God. Count the cost and pay the price is not in the worldly sense. Take out a lot of money and we can attain it. Or even just to put in a lot of effort and then you will be able to attain it. Work hard at it, you will attain it. No. We must understand that at the heart of it are moral, spiritual principles. And we have to move in that direction because God is a moral, spiritual being. To attain to deep relationship with Him, the principles involved are of a moral nature. We have to move in a direction to become more and more like God in moral, spiritual beauty. To walk with God, we have to walk in His will. We have to obey Him because His will is perfect. We cannot live our lives as we like or even as we see fit according to our own thinking and expect God then to adjust to us. He cannot adjust to us because we are not perfect. He cannot compromise His perfect standards and become less than perfect. It is for us to rise up, to move in the direction of the being and the character of God. Then we can have deep relationship with God and walk with God in a meaningful way. And to walk in the will of God, to walk with God, includes, as the Lord Jesus tells us, and as we have been emphasizing from time to time, it includes denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and daily following Him. What is crucial is following the Lord, not just experiencing pain, going through difficulties. But the following of the Lord requires the need to be prepared to suffer pain as we take up our own cross and daily follow Him. We have to deny our self-desires, thinking, approaching life according to our own thinking, our own strength, our own desires. This is the cost of discipleship. The path of deep relationship with God and walking with God is not a picnic. Just having a nice, pleasant time, admiring the flowers. Yes, it can include that, but it doesn't just consist of pleasant times. There can be many difficulties, and there will be many difficulties along the way, and that means we must be prepared to persevere, whatever the cost. The scriptures clearly reveal to us that there will be difficulties along the way. There will be pain. There will be spiritual opposition, the wiles of the evil one. We are living in a fallen world. Not only many attractions, distractions, temptations. But in the midst of all this, the evil one is seeking to exploit the weakness of the flesh. And also activities of others. Actions, conduct of others that can make it very difficult and painful for us if we want to persevere in the path of God's calling and God's will. But there must be a preparedness to persevere, whatever the cause. Without this spirit of the preparedness to persevere in the path of truth and the will of God, even when it is painful, if we are not prepared for that, it's a reflection of the poor quality of our determination, our commitment to our relationship with God and to the path of His calling. But even as God requires us to persevere, the scriptures also assures us, and it's important that we hold these two together, at the same time assured that perseverance in this path will not be detrimental to our lives. God doesn't want us just to suffer pain in vain, but with a deep conviction that God loves us and He's seeking to bring about the optimum, the best for our lives. But the best includes difficulties. The training that God wants us to go through, even spiritual warfare, that indeed we may become adequate, equipped for every good work, even as we continue to apply the truths in the scriptures in our lives as we face the difficulties along the way. It is a life of true meaning, fulfillment, and fruitfulness. A life of deep fellowship with God in the midst of trials and difficulties. And the seventh point is a point that is important, but in this series of messages on making good progress in a relationship with God, I have not elaborated much on this point, but it is actually a very major issue. And that is not only the need on our part to nurture the positive, but also the need to deal with and remove the negative. Whatever hinders our relationship with God, especially sin, hypocrisy, pride, self-confidence, self-sufficiency, self-life, and all forms of self-indulgence. Activities and negative attitudes which grieve the Holy Spirit. This is a very major aspect that we cannot neglect. We cannot properly nurture the positive if we are unwilling to deal with the negative. We can keep trying to tell God that we want to have a deep relationship with Him. We want to be pure in heart. We want to live lives of righteousness. But if we are not prepared to deal with the negative, how can the positive emerge? The Holy God, the Holy Spirit, will be hindered from working in our lives if the negative is not dealt with. We are not prepared to deal with them decisively. Yes, there can be various weaknesses in our lives that can be very difficult. We may not be able to overcome them straight away. Let us not lose heart. But is there this determination in our heart? Do we recognize it is important, and are we prepared to deal with them? If we are, God will help us. There are areas in which we may be able to deal with decisively, straight away, but there are areas which may take time. God, in His patience, love, and mercy, will help us. But we cannot become presumptuous and think that God will continue to love us. It doesn't matter. It does. All sins are abhorrent to God. I mentioned some examples like hypocrisy and pride. I just highlight some of these major areas, but there are many others. But in particular, I've also mentioned self-confidence, self-sufficiency, self-life, and all forms of self-indulgence. And if you ponder about it, you'll realize that it has to do with the things that spring from ourselves, and this will straight away be diametrically opposed to our desire for deep relationship with God. If we want a deep relationship with God, our conduct, our life, and the whole approach to life that springs from within must come about, begin with our relationship with God and what the Spirit of God seeks to bring about in our lives, in fellowship with God and not on our own. Self-confidence, self-sufficiency, all forms of self-indulgence, all this will be contrary to a life of deep relationship with God and will grieve the Holy Spirit. 8. We go on to the positive aspects. But the 8 also is relevant to dealing with the negative of point 7, and that is good positive response to what the Holy Spirit seeks to bring about in our lives. If we want to nurture a deep relationship with God, we must be constantly sensitive to the Lord, prayerful, looking to the Lord to understand what the Holy Spirit is seeking to teach us and to bring about in our lives, and to respond well. We cannot just be preoccupied with the surroundings, with the circumstances, with people, with the visible, or even with our own thinking. we must prayerfully look to the Lord to understand what the Spirit of God is seeking to tell us, alert, sensitive to what He's seeking to do, with hearts that are receptive, teachable, humble, and a contrite spirit. The Holy Spirit seeks to help us to deal with the negative and to nurture the positive. We must be prayerful and be sensitive to what He seeks to bring about in our lives and cooperate with Him. Ninth point. Earnestly avail ourselves of all opportunities that God has provided for us to learn, grow, and deepen in our relationship with Him. God has made available many opportunities for us. Let us not feel miserable or be deterred by what we think may be helpful for us but are not available to us. Let us not worry about those things. God knows our needs. He does make ample opportunities. But not all opportunities that God provides for us, that are available for us, means they are also readily available. You just stretch out your hand. They are all there lying for you. You need not make any effort. When I talk about opportunities, it includes what is feasible but may require us to put in effort in fellowship with God. For example, the major aspects of what God has provided for us to grow in our relationship with Him, in our spiritual life, include the Scriptures. But we have to make effort. The Scriptures is available to us, but we need to make effort to study, to ponder, to seek to understand, and also other opportunities that God has granted to us to help us to understand the Scriptures, whether it be through preaching, through teaching, through interactions with others. Likewise, prayer is a very marvelous thing that God has so ordained this whole area of prayer so that we can freely have access to God in prayer, and this whole realm of prayer whereby it is feasible for us to have very wonderful times of fellowship with God and to deepen in our relationship with God, our fellowship with Him. But it also requires us to be disciplined, to make effort. God makes available opportunities for us, but would we make full use of the opportunities available? Likewise, church life, helpful messages, literature, and also daily life situations, which I'll come back to it a bit, elaborate a little more afterwards. We must be alert to the opportunities available and make full use of them, bearing in mind the approach, the perspective, the priorities. The 10th point, in the midst of all these things that we are seeking to do, it's important for us to recognize that at the very heart of good relationship with God is positive moral and spiritual meaning in our relationship with God. Deep relationship with God is not just that we feel we have a deep relationship with God. If there is genuine deep relationship with God, it has to be grounded in positive moral and spiritual meaning, which then have the following implications, much of which has been elaborated and will continue to be elaborated upon in this series of messages. A. The importance of our moral and spiritual growth and stature. This will have a direct bearing on the quality of our relationship with God. We want to have a deep relationship with God, but we do not pay attention. We neglect our moral and spiritual growth. It is not feasible. B. Walking in God's will. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. C, which I've elaborated in one message, love and love relationship. It's a love relationship with God, and we must also nurture love in our being, our hearts filled with divine love, and learning to walk in love. If we refuse to learn to walk in love and to remove the hindrances, the obstacles in the path of walking in love, it will definitely hinder our relationship with the God of love. D, in truth, truth in the inner man and walking in the truth. We've also took time in one message to consider this. E, in spirit. The relationship with God is in spirit, our spirit and God's spirit, and the importance of being filled with the spirit, walking in the spirit, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our oneness with God is in spirit and truth. I will not elaborate now. It has already been elaborated upon. F, in Christ. We've also with one message to consider this aspect. Abiding in Christ and He in us, walking and growing in Him, and finding in Him all that God has provided and intends for us. And all these various aspects, at the heart of it, has moral and spiritual meaning and are vital in a deep relationship with God. And all this will move in a direction of oneness with God. This is one way of expressing deep relationship with God, oneness with God. How can we be one with God? It's not primarily emotional. We need to become more and more like God if we want to be deeply one with Him, to be conformed to the image of Christ. When our character becomes more and more like that of God, then it is feasible for us to have deep relationship, deep oneness with God. We must learn to identify with what is in God's heart, what is important to Him, and identify with the fulfillment of His purposes. Set our hearts and be committed to that direction. Then we can be deeply one with God. Otherwise, it will just be words. No matter how much you may affirm it in your times of prayer to God, how many times you may have said it, God, I want to be one with You, I'm one with You, it will not be true. Unless these realities we are talking about are real and deepening in our lives. The 11th point, importance of set apart time with God each day. We all recognize it, but we must pay heed to it and also know why this is important. A, our times of prayer, of worship, thanksgiving, drawing near to God, spiritual refreshment, renewal of our whole being, of our mind, our spirit, thinking through, reviewing our lives before Him. In this regard, we can also consider the helpfulness of learning fasting, which can help to intensify our prayer life as well as our relationship with God generally. Not just abstaining from food, but true fasting goes beyond just the physical dimension, but the surrounding aspects of the meaning. Why do you fast? And what goes together with the abstinence from food that can help to intensify our pursuit of God, our seeking to nurture our relationship with Him, and also intensify the relationship with God. B, our time to read the scriptures, pondering over the truths, that we may truly know Him, know God, His ways, His plans, His purposes. And as we read, to align our hearts with the truth, align our hearts with what is in God's heart, and look to the Spirit of God to renew our minds, that the truths are absorbed into our hearts and minds and transforming us. That is critical. But not just set apart time, the next point, daily living. Both are important. In our daily living, prayerful, constantly conscious of God and seeking to deepen our relationship with God in our daily lives. That is, A, in all situations, B, especially difficult, complex, and painful situations. To know that in all situations, it is not only feasible for us to maintain our relationship with God, but important. And as we do so, to realize that there's meaning in all situations that we go through, and that there are things that not only God wants to teach us in the situation, but also through the many situations as we go through with Him, we can deepen in our relationship with Him. But especially difficult, complex, painful situations, which we may tend to want to run away from, we wish we don't have to go through them. Nothing wrong if you do not like pain. In fact, it's strange if you like it. But not so much because we enjoy the pain, but we do not want to run away from it if we recognize that to be faithful to God, we need to go through such times to realize that such times can be very helpful in deepening our relationship with God, and together with that, many, many deep things that we can learn. They all go together. Learning, growing, and deepening our relationship with God. See, recognizing God has been granting us many opportunities in daily life to learn and to grow and to deepen in our relationship with Him, and to make the most of them. There are many opportunities to learn, including learning how to fight a good fight of faith, recognize the wiles of the evil one and how to take our stand, learning about people and how to respond properly, not on our own, but in fellowship with God. And all doing all things, going through all these situations with a definite sense of meaning, purpose, direction, perspective. That we are children of God's kingdom, and we view things, approach life, go through life in fellowship with God from the perspective of God's kingdom. Looking to God for guidance, enabling, undertaking. If these are not just mere words that we profess or we pray, uttering these things, but if they are real, we will grow in our relationship with God and also in moral, spiritual stature. Concluding remarks. When we talk about deep relationship with God, we may at times describe it as oneness with God. I've used this expression just now, and believers do use this expression. But in conclusion, I want to spend a little time to consider with you more carefully the proper sense of oneness with God and one major aspect that is wrong that we should not confuse with the meaning of oneness with God that we are talking about that's helpful. What does oneness with God mean? I will briefly mention this part, what it means, what it involves, and then go on to what it does not mean and what we have to be careful about not to mix up with. Oneness with God is primarily a reference to the oneness in heart and spirit. Not literal sense that it becomes one, which we'll see afterwards. It's serious error to move in the other direction. But this oneness of heart and spirit involves two major aspects. One major aspect A has to do with the development in the direction of our lives, in the direction of perfect spirit. That our spirit becomes more and more like God who is perfect. Perfection in moral and spiritual qualities of our being as intended by God. The Lord Jesus tells us, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. As we grow in the direction of perfection of spirit, heart and spirit, then we become more and more like God in moral, spiritual qualities, which will then enable us to relate more and more deeply with the perfect God. In fact, you enable us to relate with God at the deepest level. The more we move in that direction, the more we can move in the direction of deep fellowship with God, and in that sense, an increasing oneness with God in spirit. B is a commitment on our part to God, and commitment to Him and identified with Him in the fulfillment of His purposes. When more and more our being grows in the direction to become more and more like God in character, and at the same time we are committed to God and identified with Him and what is in His heart and the outworking, the fulfillment of His purposes, not just words but reality, we can we will be moving more and more in the direction of oneness with God. The meaning of oneness with God in heart and spirit, it involves these two major aspects. But there is one aspect of the sense of oneness we must not confuse with, and that is, it is not oneness in the sense of merging into the being of God, so there is no longer a distinction between God and man, and no distinction of being. That is not the sense of oneness we are talking about that is healthy and meaningful. Let us realize that even in the being of the triune God, God is one, one being. But in the being of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is also distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, there is a distinction within the being of God which enables relationship in the being of the triune God. If there is no distinction in the being of the triune God, there cannot be relationship. If there is only one, there's no distinction, that one cannot relate with himself. You relate, you need to relate with another. There needs to be another for you to relate with. There needs to be a distinction. Relationship to exist, for relationship to exist, there needs to be another. So God the Son can relate with God the Father. There's a distinction between the Father and the Son. There are those who teach that the goal that man should work towards is our merging into the divine being, so that there is no longer a distinction between God and man, and no longer a distinction of being. We merge into the divine being. That is the goal that man should seek for, and that is the highest, the most meaningful, when we merge into the divine being. There's no more distinction. We merge into the divine being, no distinction of being. This is wrong teaching and differs from biblical teaching in two important areas. One, there is no distinction of being, which means no relationship is feasible. Two, there's no more a distinction between God and man. It would mean man has attained divinity. He has become part of the divine being. Let us be clear, the scriptural teaching, man will always remain man. No matter how we develop, we do not become God. And there is always a distinction between God and man. There is no distinction between God and man means there's no longer a distinction. Sorry, there's no more a distinction of being. There are times of deep fellowship with God, especially during times of deep prayer, where we may feel as if we are one with God in the sense of our merging into the divine being. And sometimes the people who describe such sense, we must be careful. It is true, if you do spend time and there are times of deep fellowship with God, especially during times of deep prayer, we may feel as if we are one with God in the sense of our merging into the divine being. But we must recognize in reality this is not so. Deep oneness with God in the true sense can sometimes feel as if it's a merging into the divine being. But we must distinguish the two, and the distinction is vital. We must not also try to move in the direction of merging into the divine being and thereby losing our identity. The distinction between God and man remains, and this enables man to relate with God and communicate with God. We can pray to God and God can speak to us. Merging into the divine being would mean man no longer exists as a distinct distinctive being, and then there will be no longer man to relate with God. God has created man to have fellowship with him, to relate with him. If we merge into him, we can no longer relate with him. If there is no distinction of being, as I mentioned, there are those who teach that the goal of man is to work towards a merging into the divine being. If there's no distinction of being, then there will not be relationship. Not only that, the other error is that we become God, which is not true. We do not become God. We are to become transformed, that is true. Conformed to the image of Christ. That is, we are to become more and more like God in moral and spiritual beauty. But we do not become God. It is true, we abide in the Lord and He in us. But we do not become a part of the divine being, of the being of God. I'll just conclude with these words that we should prayerfully ponder over. God longs to have deep, meaningful relationship with us. He has made all the provisions for us. It's a great privilege. We should be deeply grateful. There are many opportunities that God has granted to us. Patiently, He seeks to prepare us in the direction of deep fellowship with Him, deep relationship with Him. He wants us to have a meaningful, vital part in our working of His purposes together with Him and with one another. But it may not take place. It is said, if we remain in spiritual poverty, if we remain in a very superficial relationship with God, it will be tragic. For us, it will also sadden the heart of God. Ponder about it. The whole of the scriptural revelation from Genesis to Revelation, what is it trying to communicate to us? The direction that it seeks to exhort us. Is it not so? At the very heart of it, in the midst of many, many exhortations, instructions, revelation, a primary thing that God seeks to bring about is that we may be able to enter into deep relationship with Him and work out His purposes together with Him. If we neglect this area, we falter and fail, and we do not move in this direction properly, then we have failed in the most critical issue of life. We will stop here for today. Let us prayerfully ponder over what we've been considering as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Even the institution of Lord's Supper is meant to help us, to grant us another opportunity, an intensified opportunity to draw near and nearer to God, and to ponder over and to reflect over those things that are important, that can help us in that direction. Even as we ponder over what has been accomplished at the cross and the implications for our lives. Even as we partake of the one loaf that is meant to enhance our fellowship with God and our oneness in the body of Christ. Even as it is time for us to sort out our lives, to put away the negative, to nurture the positive. Even as we are meant to partake with a sense of mission and purpose, not of our own making, but what God has entrusted to us in the working and fulfillment of His purposes. Even as we prepare our hearts to be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ, even as we seek to draw near to Him and to become more like Him, the time of partaking of the Lord's Supper is a time that is meant to enhance our oneness with God, with one another, to deepen our relationship and fellowship with God. Let us, as we prepare ourselves and as we partake of the Lord's Supper, seek to do so in the right spirit and move in that direction.